truck since like November.
Yeah, they haven't been doing shows there.
Gotcha. Yeah, well. Anyway, first of all, welcome to Scranton.
Thank you.
And a couple years back, last time we were here, I talked to Joel, actually.
Yeah, sure.
So he gave the scoop on Void, but yes. Now we're moving on here.
All right,
so every year since 2010, I'm here with Davey from Vanna, by the way. You guys started out touring in a van, in a van. Are you still doing that?
We still tour in a van for all of our club touring. We like to save money, and we all like each other, so we don't mind being that close.
Sure.
We've all been touring in vans since day one. On Warped Tour, we toured in a bus or a bandwagon, which is a nice thing because it's grueling. My days start at 8 a.m. and I don't stop till 9, so it's nice to be able to lay down and actually get some sleep.
I assume you share it with another band?
Nope. We have our own bandwagon this year just with our crew, and we have one other merch seller that's in with us. But yeah, kept it a really small crew this year, and it's nice that way. We've shared in other years, and it's been very difficult. So
I imagine. Yeah. That's cool. All right. So from what I understand, maybe from one of your other thousands of interviews that you've done, I know you've been hitting it hard, so thank you.
Yes.
You don't like the heat. You're not a fan of the heat.
Not a fan of the heat.
So how are you surviving it?
Just staying super hydrated, and you kind of just got to accept it. You accept that your shirt, I wear a lot of black shirts, and they just get soaked while I'm walking around all day, and I just go back and hang it up and change it. But just staying hydrated and trying to duck out in the bus to get AC as much as you can. But I do a lot for the band, and I do a lot running around all day, so I'm not really in the rake often. So just lots of water as much as you can. I'm doing a fitness program at night, helping training everybody on Warped Tour. So you can't beat the heat then. You just sweat it out. So I think eventually you just kind of get used to it. Plus now we're back up in the Northeast, so it's not as bad as Texas. Oh my God, the first day was like 150 degrees. So this kind of heat up here, I grew up with in New England, so I'm fine with it.
Absolutely, yeah. A couple years ago, you were also doing some haircuts at the time, right?
Yeah.
So you can duck out of the heat, snip, snip, snip.
I haven't done them this year because they got really overwhelming 2 years ago. I felt like I was cutting everyone's hair every day, which is cool, and I love doing it. Gave me a really chance to meet a lot of people on the tour, which is really, really what I wanted to do. So not this year, no haircuts for me. I took the summer off.
All right, so find someone else, guys.
That's right.
All right, so another big reason that we're here, All Hell in Stores Now, just came out fairly recently. And was that specifically timed release-wise for Warped Tour?
Oh, absolutely. We recorded it in the mind of putting it out on Warped Tour. It actually came out a couple days ago, but we've been selling it since the first day of Warped Tour just because we were like, we just want to get it to the kids and get it out to them. It's been going really, really well. We're really excited about it. We played two songs off the record on our Warped sets. And it's awesome. I couldn't be more excited about it.
And only $5, so if you're hearing this in time.
That's right, only $5. We're not trying to make any money off of it. We just want people to have the record.
Absolutely. All right, so from what I understand, Void was you dwelling on problems and finally being able to talk about struggles you had endured. What does All Hell signify?
You nailed it, exactly. That's what Void is about. So for All Hell for me is, taking all of the failures and accomplishments, all the letdowns and triumphs in my life and owning them and being proud of them. This record is about the hell. And I'm not talking about like hell, like heaven and hell. I'm talking about like hell on earth, things that we put ourselves through and things that we go through. This record is about all the hell that I've gone through to become the person I am, but I'm very proud of that, the good and the bad. And I feel like a lot of times kids tend to be... They tend to be ashamed of the problems they've had in their lives when I really think they should just embrace them and be outspoken about them, because if you've had these problems in your life, chances are there's another kid out there that's had these problems, and sharing your problems and sharing how you made it through is the only way to really help other people get through it. So that's kind of what this record is about, is me sharing how I got through things and being proud of the hell that I went through to get here.
And you can learn a lot from going through that, so...
Absolutely. I've learned a lot about myself. I'm glad I went through a lot. I don't regret anything. I've been through a lot of things in my life. I don't regret any of them because it all led me ultimately to here.
All right. So you released the Pretty Grim music video.
Yep.
And filmed in 6K, same thing used for Star Wars. How did you get hooked up with that?
This is a cool story. Yeah. So... my best friend, Josh Schmitz, he owns Ruckus Apparel, he owns a media company, he does a lot of stuff. He's one of those guys, much like me, that wears many hats. And we were on tour doing a Hot Dogs for the Homeless tour. We were going around to the West Coast and we were stopping off and feeding homeless shelters hot dogs. So we were on that tour together, and the album was done, and we listened to it in the RV, and he was like... you know, what's the first single? We talked about Pretty Grim, and we're talking about, like, me and him, this concept of this video that we both kind of on the same page for. And he has a marketing media team that he works with. So we were talking about it. He said, dude, we can get this done. And then it came time to talk about videos for with the label, and we didn't have a lot of time before Warped Tour to get it done. And I was like, I have an idea. And they'd all know Josh, and I was like, me and Josh have this idea. Just let us do it. And they were like, okay. So I flew out to Denver. Literally, I got home from that tour, Josh, and I flew out to Denver a week after that. I flew out there for a whole week. The cool part is how all the technology, all the video and all that stuff came about is that he was shooting a BMW commercial at the same time that I came out to do the video. So we had all this amazing rented camera gear, like the Red Dragon camera, stuff I don't even understand. This stuff is just like same setup as Star Wars, you know, and at our disposal to just use. So we did. We used it. And the people that we were shooting the BMW commercial for were psyched on it. It's a friend of ours who owns a dealership, and he was like, yeah, definitely do that. So I helped them shoot that BMW commercial, and then we shot our music video with the same camera, and it came out so cool looking. It's just like, I just want it to be visually stunning and visually pleasing. I think that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so it seems like every so often there's a producer that, you know, is the guy to work with. And you're working with Will Putney again. What is it about him that works
with? He's the guy to work with, man. It's, if you notice, you know, I don't know if kids realize and look at liner notes and stuff, but Will is the guy that, you know, so many bands have been working with recently. I mean, just in the last year, I know it was like us, Gideon, Silent Planet, Straight From The Path, For Today, Sworn In. I mean, like, every heavier band was going to Will, and Will just has this certain dynamic. My favorite part about working with Will is his ability to, when I'm doing something and we do something vocally, I go to explain how I'd like want it mixed, and he's like, yeah, no, I already hear that. I hear that there. He can just hear things naturally that he's like, it doesn't exist yet, but it'll exist later on, and this is why I'm doing this thing now. He's really good at like having just really great foresight with stuff. So every time we get like a mix back for him, like usually we go back and forth with mixes. The producers, they'll send first mix, we'll send edits, and he sent us the first mix, and I think we had two edits, and he was like, yeah, I agree on those. He just changed them, and that was it. He's really easy to work with. He's a busy, busy man. I feel like, you know, he tries to take on as much work as he possibly can, and that, for better or for worse, sometimes I think it might stress him out. But he's a really great guy, really great producer to work with, and he's definitely a guy to watch. There's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if he's announced some of the stuff, projects that he has going on, but he's got a lot of cool things coming down the pipeline that isn't just recording bands. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, if you need to go record a heavy-ass record, go to Graphic Nature. Man, it's a good place.
Is that Massachusetts or?
It's in New Jersey. Yeah, it's Jersey City.
And New Every Time I Die. They worked with him, so.
Yeah, that too. Which New Every Time I Die, I've only heard a couple songs, but man, I'm excited for that record.
I've
heard a couple of them. They're pretty great. It's like old Eated.
Okay.
Which is really cool. That band never does anything wrong. They never have done anything wrong in their whole career.
At the very worst, I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. If it was wrong, I still liked it.
Cool. All right. So, from what I understand, you're a motivational speaker at high schools, or you have done some of that. And you have a TEI session going on. Talk about finding your voice. What has that experience been like for you?
It's been pretty life-changing. After we released Void, it kind of opened up my world of wanting to share more about myself and my story more. And I got signed on with a team of speakers, and now it's my career outside the band as I go to middle schools, high schools, and colleges and share my story and share a bit about what my voice is and how I got here and what I'm doing. And then the TEI things, it kind of blends the two worlds together, so I get to have these little workshops with kids about how to take all the things that they've gone through in their life and push them forward to something positive and try to achieve their dreams, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be a singer in a band. It could be anything. And they've been really cool. We've had like a very small groups every day, and it's been really awesome to work with these kids and get to know them a little bit. It's more of a discussion, you know. My school speaking, it's more of me talking at the kids, and these TEI things are more of discussions, which I really enjoy.
So I suppose you've learned a lot from the discussions too.
I learn more and more about kids and teenagers, like, you know, living in America right now every day, and it's great because I think it opens up my eyes and gets me to look at things that I wasn't looking at before. As I get older, I feel like it keeps me even younger, you know what I mean, being hanging out with these kids. So for me, it's a blessing to be able to sit down with these kids and share a little bit about their lives, because ultimately that's the whole goal with music, is to have a cool connection with the people who listen to the music. This is just an extension of everything I like to do.
And from what I understand, earlier in your life you were sort of on a path to becoming a minister or something.
There was a while that I was in youth ministry for a while, working with kids. I've always worked with kids in whatever capacity that may have been. So my parents owned a daycare growing up that I worked in. I worked in the YMCA after school programs, and I started running a center. I worked with youth ministry for a little while I was like transitioning into college, and then I was a preschool teacher for a few years before I started touring like super full time. So I've always worked with kids. They've always been my passion. This youth, you know what I mean?
It seems like what you're doing now is an extension of, you know, that stuff.
It's funny. It progresses and it moves along. Like my mother always says, she's like, you're still doing the same stuff, you know? I'm still working with kids and still trying to help them out. So whatever that capacity may be, you know, I just keep on moving forward. I think that coming from the hardcore metal scene, I like to take those ideals and those values I learned there and try to apply them to schools, to kids that maybe never will go to a metal show or punk rock show, and try to bring that spirit to them.
Okay. Now, you've also got a clothing brand that does charity work.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would love to hear about that.
Yeah, it's called Shovel Brand. It's a one-for-one donation-based accessory and clothing company. So what it is all the items that we have right now, which in our merch store, we have five just right now because we've only launched in the last 2 months. Everything that we print, when you buy one, we print another one, and then they get sent in a box at the end of the month to my house. And then I go down to the teen center that my wife helps run in my town, and we bring down these brand new clothes to these kids, because going through the like donations for all these kids at the teen center and shifting through them, I've noticed something that, like, you know, bless your heart for donating clothes, but a lot of times these clothes are like old, out of style, out of date, like dirty, and these are teenagers. And like, think back to when you were a teenager, all you wanted was just to be cool. That's really all. And there's that phrase, beggars can't be choosers. I hate that phrase, because these kids aren't beggars in any way, shape, or form. Some of them are just born into a situation they can't get out of. And my whole thing was, why can't we just give them brand new clothes and make them feel good about themselves, so they still have to go to school, get a job, try to have boyfriends and girlfriends like a normal teenager. So why not give them some like cool clothes so they feel good, even if they don't understand where that shirt came from? The whole reward in it is that, you know, when you buy it, that your shirt that you're wearing, someone else is wearing the exact same shirt somewhere. And it's cool because we make everything so logo based and not a lot of text, that people ask like, what is that? And you have the opportunity to kind of word of mouth spread what we're doing here. And that's sort of the way we want our campaign to be, is just word of mouth. So it's going really well. We're in our second month, and the kids' eyes light up when they ever see us coming with like a big box. They know what's in that box, you know. We're just working really hard, and the goal is to have it be one in every state, you know, like a brand rep in every state, so we can be donating to. So once we start raising enough money and clothes for my teen center in Maine, we want to start moving on state by state, and so we can kind of cover everybody, because ultimately all we really want to do is just help people. That's it.
Now, going back into music, you guys had done a covers EP at some point. First of all, do you anticipate doing another one?
It's something that has been talked about, because we just did it because we were home and we had a little off time and we wanted to make music. So we've always kind of wanted to do a cover record. So we did the EP, and we didn't think it was going to be as big as it was, but it was really cool. Even got the attention of some of the artists.
Billy Corgan
posted it and said, "Well done, lads," to us, which was like, okay, cool, I can die happy now. But there's definitely now, of course, more talk of doing like an alt 2.0 and moving on. So we'll see. I mean, it's definitely something that we like and could be something that'd be cool to do in the future. So I think we're going to do something along those lines.
Anything you would do just for the retweet? Any song you would cover just to, if you get a retweet or a post from a band?
We didn't do it thinking they would even ever see it. And it was cool that we got confirmation. Our manager sent stuff out. We got confirmation that most of the artists that we covered at least listened to them. I don't know. I think we covered like five of my favorite ones. So, but there was a list of 30 songs. So there's a lot more that we could do. So yeah, we'll see. I hope so. It's just always cool when, you know, I know how the internet works, and I know when kids tweeted us, it takes you 2 seconds to say something, you know, and it took Billy Corgan a couple minutes to watch that video, and then he was like, "This is cool. I like it," you know, which is like really awesome of him to do that, because it didn't like make our career or boost our record sales. All it did was just make us really happy that we did him proud, you know. So it'd be cool if we did another one and more artists acknowledged it. It'd be cool.
I mean, I grew up with the Smashing Pumpkins too. I think we're probably around the same age, but that's one of those things that Billy Corgan's one of those figures that I would be almost intimidated to interview just because, you know, I pulled him up and so excited.
Oh, of course. When I saw, I was in an airport and a friend of mine screenshotted it and sent it to me, and I was like, what is this? Like, Billy Corgan just posted your cover. Didn't like retweet it, didn't like repost it, posted it himself, like with the link in the video. And I was just like, I sent it to our group chat, and I was like, guys, and everyone was like, oh my god. And then I had to immediately get on a plane, so I was just like freaking out on a plane, you know. So it was cool.
So from what I understand, you also play drums in a band back home, did?
I've been playing drums. Is how I got into music and started playing in bands when I was 12. I still play drums. I still jam with my friends. I work at a studio at home, so I get to be playing, you know, drums and being around music that isn't just my own, which is really good. It's really therapeutic for me to kind of be around that kind of stuff.
Alright, so any other cool things that up to the rest of the year, aside from doing millions of interviews?
Millions of interviews, you know, finishing out Warped Tour. We still got way more than half of this tour left, and then we're doing a tour in the fall time, which hasn't been announced yet, so I can't really announce it, but we're doing a fall tour. It'll be in the U.S. and then we go to the U.K. and Europe with Beartooth until December, and then we get home for Christmas. We lay low for a little while, and then we're back out on the road next year. And we're hoping to hit Australia and Japan and China. We had plans to go this year, but with the record, everything got too busy and we couldn't go. So next year is a year of touring everywhere.
Yeah, well, recharge those batteries when you can.
Absolutely, man. I really need that.
Cool. Well, the last thing I'll leave you with. Every interview ends with this one. Stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life, what is it?
I've been asked this question before. It's a really tough question.
Yeah.
Man, I hate this question. Brand new Devil and God.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. That one. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for not only your time, but the new music and touring and all that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.